Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and just Ken Johnston today. Our good friend Father McKay is on vacation this week and next week, getting a much-needed break down in Wildwood. So we ask you to keep Father in your prayers that he gets plenty of rest and rejuvenated, and we'll welcome him back here in June. So we are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. I also want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful contributions that have kept us on the air for over 40 years now. It's good to be back in the studio. The last couple of weeks, I had last-minute cancellations on my 5 o'clock guest and gave Father McKay a break. So we had put recordings on. So we're back live today. Just me in the 4 o'clock hour. And in the 5 o'clock hour, I have an author on, James Valoy. I think that's how you pronounce the last name, who wrote a book called Our Lady's Prophecies. Deals mostly with Our Lady of Good Success, Marian apparitions that took place in Ecuador back in the 16th century that I've talked to a few people, and while they've heard of it, they don't know a lot of the details around the apparitions and the messages that were given to a great nun there. And so we'll be exploring them in the 5 o'clock hour today. I've started to write on Substack. If you go to notsaintsyet.substack.com, try to put out at least one article every week. And when we have live radio shows, I'll post an article tomorrow morning with links to the recordings along with some highlights. You may want to check that out and subscribe. Our Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel's Church at the corner of 29th and Dickinson in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Opens around 9 o'clock following the 8:30 daily mass in the church, and open till around 4:30 both days. On Tuesdays, we have adoration and Matt Talbot prayers and benediction beginning at 3 o'clock, wraps up around 4:15. And then on Thursdays at 4 o'clock, we pray the rosary together by the shrine. So all are more than welcome to join. If you're going to come down and visit the shrine, get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website. Be happy to meet you over in church and give you a tour not only of the shrine, but of the whole Cathedral of South Philadelphia, if you will, St. Gabriel's Church. Again, that's at 29th and Dickinson in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. Plans are also underway for the centenary celebration of Matt Talbot's death, which will take place in June of 2025. We're working with Bill Rose from Joyful Films in creating a film on the life of Matt Talbot. It's been pretty interesting, the conversations that we've had already. And we'll give you more details as that project unfolds. And finally, our men's retreat weekend, the Edward J. Friel Senior Memorial Group, goes out to Malvern the third Friday in August every year. This year, that's August 16th to the 18th. Our retreat director will be Father Bryce Lundgren, the cowboy priest from Cheyenne, Wyoming. He was a guest on my show back in March of 2023. Talking about his book called The Catholic Cowboy Way. So Father Bryce will be flying in from Wyoming for that weekend. You can register for that retreat or any others at malvernretreat.com. Click on register for a retreat, and then you can scroll through the upcoming retreats. They're there in order by date. So without any further ado, let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved son should be servant should be glorified by your church. Make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you. Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph, pray for us. Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. St. Mark G. and St. Monica, pray for us. St. Camilla Stolilis and St. John of God, pray for us. St. Rita of Cassia, pray for us. And all our patron saints and guardian angels, pray for us. All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. We'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment when we come back from the break at the bottom of the hour, but we need your phone calls in order to make that happen. We'll give out the numbers again as we approach the bottom of the hour. If God's touched you in a particular way in the past few weeks, since we haven't been live for a couple of weeks, it'll be great to hear from you. We, as of Monday, have returned to ordinary time following Pentecost, which we celebrated this past Sunday. On Monday the 20th, we celebrated the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of the Church. On Tuesday the 21st, St. Christopher Magianus, who was a priest, and his companions, who were all martyrs. Today, the 22nd, we celebrate the Feast of St. Rita of Cassia, a religious. Tomorrow, the 23rd, we actually have three saints that are celebrated. St. Bede the Venerable, who was a priest and doctor of the church. St. Gregory the Seventh, who was a pope, and St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi, who was a virgin. And that would wrap up the saints in the calendar this week. So it's been an interesting week already. I was talking to Patrick before we came on the air. We made the Miraculous Metal Shrine on Monday at noon. They had before the noon mass, they had their May procession. And then we celebrated Mary as the Mother of the Church at the noon mass at the Miraculous Metal Shrine. This morning we were at the 8 o'clock mass at St. Rita's National Shrine at Broad and Ellsworth. And we're kind of kidding, maybe tomorrow we should make the St. John Newman Shrine for mass. But we are blessed here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia to have, you know, three national shrines, and one even being the Minor Basilica with the Miraculous Metal Shrine. So there's no shortage of opportunities to get out and celebrate some of these great feasts that we get to celebrate in a liturgical calendar. And it never ceases to amaze how, you know, we've worked out this liturgical calendar, the different seasons, the feast days that are celebrated, and the joy and the prayer life that it encourages. Many people were praying the novena prayers to St. Rita leading up to her feast day this morning, and then to see the nice crowd at the 8 o'clock mass this morning with roses everywhere. The altar and sanctuary were filled with red roses, and then it was the first time I've actually made the mass, so I didn't know to bring the red roses before I got there, but a number of people did, and before the offertory, a couple of the priests processed through the church with holy water, blessing all those red roses. So now I know for next year. But St. Rita of Cassia is an interesting story, not the story of a typical saint where her parents wanted her to be taken care of, and so they had arranged for her to be married. And so she marries Paolo. And the priest this morning, the Augustinian, gave a great homily, and I'm going to tell you right up front that I'm stealing some of his material. But Paolo was the gentleman who she was betrothed to and would marry, and together they would have two sons. Her husband would be murdered, and so as a young woman, she's left to raise the two boys herself. And then the two young boys would eventually die as well, and leaving her basically alone. And it was at that time that she ventured to become an Augustinian sister. And what was interesting and learned today, I know we've talked about Saint Rita in the past, but we've heard about her being rejected by the Augustinians, and it wasn't quite as clear to me as it was made known today, was that there were actually sisters in the convent that were relatives of those that murdered her husband. And I think there was some fear there of what might happen if she was permitted to enter the order. But eventually, on the third try, she was admitted to the Augustinians. And, you know, a lot of the story, and you read between the lines with St. Rita, a lot of it was about forgiveness, that she forgave those that murdered her husband. And eventually, she would arrange for her husband's family and the family of the murderers to get together and exchange that forgiveness. And think about how important that is in all the world and for all of us. One of the greatest lessons we get as part of our Catholic faith, of course, is the primary symbol of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ hanging on a crucifix or hanging on a cross. And it's probably the ultimate sign of forgiveness and the forgiveness that he wants to give each one of us. And if we think about the either in our own lives or of people that we know, especially those of us that have struggled with addiction, and how difficult forgiveness and the topic can be. And we see so many times in the lives of the saints that there was a great need for forgiveness in their lives, whether they needed to be forgiven or they needed to forgive someone else. And so they become the prototype, if you will, for us to learn how to forgive and to see the benefits of that. One of the things that many people in that struggle with addiction, you know, one of the biggest things that may lead them there is, you know, resentments. And often in those resentments and with things that we've done to other people, there's a real need for forgiveness. And oftentimes you hear people tell stories about things that have happened to them and how they thought that they would never, ever be able to forgive the perpetrators of whatever it was that was done to them. And the joy that they experience when they're given that that gift of forgiveness. And you know, I'm sure if Father McKay was on the line, he would talk about how that that forgiveness is a divine quality. It's not a human quality. When we forgive somebody else, we're doing an act of God, something that God has shown us how to do. It's not a natural human thing to want to forgive somebody. I think the natural human condition is to just breed resentment and hold on to those grudges. Sometimes they give us, they feel like they give us power over somebody. It may even give us adrenaline. Some people, myself included, you know, could get experience a high from that rush of adrenaline that we get when we're angry at somebody or we're holding that resentment. And, you know, sometimes it takes quite a while to realize that those things that we think are giving us that temporary high are really what are driving us insane. And to be able to forgive someone else, realizing that they too are usually human beings just like we are. We've often heard that saying, right, that hurt people hurt people. And so once we realize the things that we've done and the harms that we've done to other people and how we've hurt other people, and many times not intentionally, that when we experience forgiveness, especially God's forgiveness in the sacrament of confession, that it then gives us the ability to forgive somebody else. And as long as we're holding on to those grudges, those resentments, those thoughts about other people that aren't so good, it blocks us from experiencing God's forgiveness and the joy that God wants us to have. And so in listening to Father's homily this morning about the life of St. Rita, you know, that's what comes to mind, is that forgiveness that she experienced and that she was able to give to those that murdered her husband and then actually brought, I guess you could say, warring factions together in the two families that were involved. And I'm not sure what the time frame was in terms of the other mystical experiences that she would have, and in particular the crowning of thorns that she would experience. A lot of the depictions we see of St. Rita will show the blood in her forehead of where it appears that she too was crowned with thorns, which brings to mind the idea of how much she would spend time meditating on the Passion of Christ. And it's interesting. I was talking to somebody the other night, and I forget what. Mark, last night after the Calyx meeting, we were talking about some saints, and he brought up Franz Jägerstätter. And having done this show now for 9 years and been through the liturgical calendar a few times, I've heard of most of the major saints. If you look in Butler's Lives of the Saints, each day there's probably, you know, anywhere from 3 to 12 saints that are celebrated. A lot of them are unknown, but we celebrate the ones that the church has designated to be celebrated in the liturgical calendar. And a couple of times in the past, we've talked about Franz, and he, you know, Mark was like, "How do you know about him?" And it was like, "Well, from doing this show." And the more that we've talked about the saints, especially over the last couple of years, the more I've noticed that it seems like one of the requirements is to have a real devotion, if you will, if that's the right word, to the Passion, to meditate on the Passion. And a lot of the saints had this in common. And at the same time, you know, we think about our Protestant brothers and sisters, and, you know, one of the differences between the denominations, if you will, is almost every Catholic church you go into will have our cross with the corpus on it. We'll have a crucifix with the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ hanging on it. And a lot of our Protestant brothers and sisters will have the cross and just a plain cross, because they seemingly dwell more on the resurrected Christ than on the Passion. And, you know, whether it's just the Stations of the Cross, or going so far as looking at Luisa Picaretta's book on the 24 Hours of the Passion, where Jesus really laid out for Luisa what went on in that in those 24 hours from the time he left the Blessed Mother to head to the Last Supper until his body was laid in the tomb, to see what he actually went through. When you do that, I think you have to experience the love of Jesus Christ. When we really look at all that he was willing to go through, all that he suffered, and that was before the physical suffering ever even started, in the agony of the garden, that the humanity that Jesus took on, and the physical attributes that come with our humanity, and knowing the pain that he was going to experience, maybe not in complete detail, but knowing that it was coming, was enough that he actually would sweat blood. And, you know, it would start with the blood and the agony, and more blood in the scourging, and more blood in the crowning, and even more blood as he's nailed to the cross. And then finally, when he's lanced with the, pierced by the sword, and the blood and water come from his heart. It's every last drop of blood from his body was shed for us. And I think if we take the time to meditate on that, to dwell on it, you know, it may seem morbid, and it may, at least at first, it is difficult to do, because it's hard to believe that anybody would be willing to go through that much suffering. But when we realize how much he suffered and was willing to do it, at least for me, you have to come away from that knowing that he truly loved us. And this is one of the beauties of the liturgical calendar and going through the all four Gospels and the three-year cycle, but particularly during the Easter season, you know, we go through the Gospel of John, and how much John talks about that love of Jesus right from the outset, and that love of God, so much so that he defines God as love. And the emphasis that Jesus had prior to the Last Supper and during the Last Supper, of how important it would be for us to remain in him so that he can remain in us, that we can experience his love and we can experience that joy. And all we need to do is look around this crazy world of ours and see all the pain and suffering and division that's going on, and realize that a lot of it is because people just don't feel loved. I was disappointed a couple of weeks ago. We were supposed to have Father Spitzer on. He's written a wonderful book called The Four Levels of Happiness, and that interview has been rescheduled for August. And I'm really looking forward to that conversation. And in that book, he talks about the study that was done that between 19 and young people between the ages of 19 and 29, 67% of them say that they're unhappy. And I'd be willing to bet that 95% of that 67% don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know, once we do, and we, from his life, we get to see the meaning of life. And we spend all of our time trying to find ways to avoid pain, to avoid suffering, to find the easier, softer way. And we look at Jesus Christ, and what it came down to with him after 3 years of his public ministry was suffering, and the suffering that he experienced during the Passion. I think even the suffering he experiences up to this day in seeing the pain and suffering of his children because of their refusal to accept him as their Lord and Savior, to realize that the solution to all our problems is love, his love, our love. I've talked over the past couple of months a number of times with folks after having Jason Jones on and talking to him about his book, The Great Campaign Against the Great Reset. And at the outset of learning about the book, I thought for sure that there was going to be some political or economic scheme that he had come up with in order to go against the powers that be. And in the end, Jason explains it's all about love, and not a communal love, not everybody in the world has to have this love, but each individual, one person at a time. And when we love somebody else and they get to experience that love, that they in turn might turn and love somebody else. And it's through one person at a time that we can change the world. And you think about Jesus Christ as, you know, he was God, but he was one person. And that one person in what he was willing to do and did during his Passion completely changed the world. He flipped everything up until that time on its head. You know, some of the great theologians that talk about it, and René Girard, who I continue to learn about a little bit here and there, and how Jesus Christ undid the whole idea of the scapegoat, and that up until then the scapegoat had always been guilty, but you know, he was the scapegoat that was not guilty. All the things that that they accused him of, he wasn't guilty of, and yet they killed him anyway, and he was willing to accept that death so that he could break Satan's hold, that he could destroy death and open up the gates of heaven to each and every one of us. And the saints try to show us that, and that our church holds the saints up to us to look to as people who found a way to live God's will, to participate in the divine will, and get to heaven, and show us the way that they do that so that we can follow them. Not that we want to do exactly what they did. Each of us is an individual, and we're all created unique to some degree, and what God needs us to do is different from what God needs everybody else to. And so to discern what that what our calling is and what it is that God needs us to do in order to make this world a better place. And when we fulfill that, I think that that's when we become saints, and that's when we can that we'll be able to enter heaven and hear those wonderful words, you know, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." But it's not always easy, and it's not always easy to discern exactly what it is that God wants us to do, because sometimes it can change. You start on this path, and you're doing what you think God wants you to do, and next thing you know, you're being asked to do something that you may have not have ever done before, or don't think you can do, not sure that if that's what God really wants you to do. And so we need to discern and pray and ask God and ask our Blessed Mother to show us what it is that they need us to do, and then more importantly, to give us the courage and the grace to do it. And that grace and courage always comes. And we see that in this humble saint today in St. Rita of Cascia. And, you know, she starts out as a wife, as a mother, eventually becomes a religious, and experiences that crowning, if you will, that similar pain to what Christ would experience in that crowning, and to accept it not only for herself, but for all those that she would minister to. She had a great love for her fellow sisters that she would take care of in the convent, and just a beautiful life. And what I had not realized is that even though she had lived a while back, she was born in 1381, died in 1457, that she wasn't beatified until 1626, and actually not canonized until 1900. So I found it interesting today in the booklet we got at Mass at the St. Rita Shrine today, that it was in 1907 that the parish was established there at Broad and Ellsworth. So she's canonized in 1900, and just 7 years later, the shrine was open, or the church was open, rather. And really, it was there with the Augustinians from the beginning to support the Italian immigrants. But it was in February of 2003 when Cardinal Bevilacqua designated St. Rita's as a shrine for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, so it became a diocesan shrine. And then it was only about 7 months later, September of 2003, when the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops would declare St. Rita's a national shrine. So every week we mention our Matt Talbot Shrine there in St. Gabriel's Church in Grays Ferry. And it was joked about back in 2014 when the vice postulator for Matt Talbot's cause was here, and he designated St. Gabriel's as the national shrine to Matt Talbot. And, we had to tell Father Lawless that we didn't even have a shrine there yet. So we have a shrine now. We hope someday that it'll become a diocesan shrine. And then, who knows, maybe someday the national shrine, much like St. Rita's. So we are approaching the bottom of the hour already. I'd like to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment when we come back. But to do that, we need your phone calls. The numbers are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or if you need to call us toll-free, you can do that at 888-343-2484. That's 888-343-2484. 8-4. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Have you ever heard of seed faith? The biblical law of sowing and reaping? Many people fail when it comes to faith for finances because they haven't planted any seed. Any farmer knows that if you want a good crop, you have to first sow the seed. The Bible speaks about seed right from the beginning in Genesis, and it's brought up all throughout the Scriptures. In the second book of Corinthians, we are told that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Why not consider sowing your financial seed into In His Sign Catholic Radio, a ministry with a 30-year history? You should sow your financial seed into a ministry that produces good fruit. Luke tells us at chapter 6, verse 44, every tree is known by its fruit. You should sow your financial seeds where you're fed, be it here, your local parish, or other worthy ministries. Please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. Kathleen McCarthy and all of the staff at In His Sign, except Kathleen's administrator, donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010. Or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, flying solo today. Again, I ask you to keep Father McKay in your prayers. He's fine, nothing physically wrong. He's just taking a couple of weeks off to get his batteries recharged and get back to work, both at Our House Ministries and the Malvern Retreat House. So again, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. Thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. We cannot do this without you. If you haven't visited our website recently, please check it out at inhissign.com. I try to keep the recordings of the shows updated on the podcast page. I usually do it by midday on Thursday, although I haven't been here the last couple of weeks, so I'm a couple of weeks behind, but I hope to have them all uploaded by tomorrow. You can also re-watch the shows on Facebook if you go out to the In His Sign Catholic Radio Facebook page. We use Facebook Live now, and you get to see us in the studio, those of us that are here, and those recordings or those Facebook Live recordings remain on Facebook probably forever. But you can always go back and rewatch a show as well. Quick rundown on the Calyx meetings here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Calyx is a great organization for Catholics in 12-step programs, where our motto is, we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. Father McKay and I and a whole bunch of others get together every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. We're usually in our Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson, across the street from St. Gabriel's Church. where we begin at 6 o'clock with adoration, followed by Mass and then our Calyx meeting. On the third Tuesday of the month, we go over to St. Gabriel's Church, where we have a Matt Talbot Holy Hour beginning at 6 o'clock and Mass at 7 o'clock. We just had that last night. Nice turnout. Father Shea from the Miraculous Metal Shrine was on hand to offer Mass for us, and we thank him for that. In June, the third Tuesday will be June the 18th. And again, all are welcome to that Mass. We offer that Mass for people that are in recovery, for those that should be in recovery, in other words, the active addicts and alcoholics. So everybody is more than welcome to come down and participate in that Mass. We have a unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown that meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next meeting won't be until June the 6th. The Glenside unit at my home parish of St. Luke the Evangelist meets on the third Saturday of each month. We got together this past Saturday. We'll get together again on June the 15th. That one, we have a 8:30 Mass in the morning, followed by our Calyx meeting. The unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Saturday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. And they will get together this coming Saturday, that's May the 25th. The unit at the Malvern Retreat House meets on the third Sunday of the month. They have 4 o'clock Mass in St. Joseph's Hall, followed by refreshments and then a meeting. They just met this past Sunday, so they'll get together in June, on June the 16th. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, there's a Calyx unit that meets at St. Matthew's every Wednesday for Mass at 6:15 p.m., so that's in about an hour and a half, followed by a Calyx meeting. And again, my guest in the 5 o'clock hour is going to be author Jim Valoy, and we'll talk about his book, Our Lady's Prophecies, which deals a lot with the apparitions of our Blessed Mother to Mother Mariana in Ecuador back in around the 1580s. You'll want to stay tuned for that in the 5 o'clock hour. So, without any further ado, we're going to kick off our Is That Odd or Is That God segment with Bob. Hello, Bob. How you doing, pal?
Good, good. How are you today, Ken?
All right, brother. Good to hear you.
Good, good. First, I have to apologize because I don't actually have an odd but God story.
Oh, forget it. Hang up on him, Patrick. No, I'm sorry.
I didn't want to interrupt you. I didn't want to interrupt you in the first half hour because you seemed inspired today, so I didn't want to interrupt that.
Yeah, you know? No problem.
But, my son lives 1,100 feet from the front door of St. Rita's. I know that from the Waze traffic app. I was going through his apartment one day, and it said, your destination is 1,100 feet on the right.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Unfortunately, you know, he does not attend St. Rita's. But like you were saying is, you know, the problem with people today, it's not the lack of, well they have no faith because they have no, I found out they have no real relationship with Jesus. I'm in this program Amen. Called Return. It's for people to try to get their children to come back to the church. And these people, like my children went to public school. Their children went to 12 years of Catholic school, Catholic all the way. And what we found out was we learned all the rules and regulations. We learned all the prayers. But we never instructed our children about how much God loves them. You know, it's like, you know, you have to know that your parents love you, you know, but that's where your relationship comes from. And that's the thing. We never told them that Jesus loved them, you know?
Right.
So, you know, when I come back, that's what I plan to do is to, you know, approach them from that aspect, you know, that, you know, you need a real personal relationship with Jesus, you know?
Yeah, I would even change the, not so much change, but that word relationship, that you need a personal experience,
right.
You know, if you haven't experienced the love of Jesus Christ, it's tough for us, I think, to tell others. You know, we can try to explain what our experience has been and how and how we've experienced Christ, but until you experience it yourself, you have to depend on others. And I think that's like in those of us that are in 12-step programs, a lot of times when we first get there, we've not experienced Christ in our lives.
Right,
and then
right.
we have to take it on the stories of others that when they that they're being honest with us when they tell us that they have experienced God and that God has operated in their lives.
Right.
And once we accept that, then at some point, hopefully, we get to experience it ourselves. And you know as well as I do, once you experience it, you can't unexperience it, right?
Exactly. Yes, yeah. Yes, right, right.
You know?
A friend of mine complained about that once. He wasn't ready, and he experienced, you know, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, but I'm not ready for that. Now I have to. He says, I know it's real. I know it's true. He says, now I can't do what I want to do.
Amen. Amen. That was Augustine, right? You know, God make me chaste, but not yet.
So, Father Doug is down in Wildwood, you know.
Yeah.
It's ironic that he's the director of Malvern, because Wildwood, is, in a way, is his Malvern. It's his retreat.
Yeah.
You know? I used to, whenever he was down there, I would try to buy him breakfast. And I would say, seriously, one out of three times, the waitress would come over and say, your bill has been taken care of. Somebody in the diner would spot Father and pay for his meal.
Yeah, yeah. Nah,
those were the good meals for me. I figured the waitress, well, let me give you the tip. Oh, no, it's all taken care of.
Yeah, yeah. Nah, there you go. But now
he remembers to mention my name so he gets a good seat.
There you go.
Yeah, now, the other thing, when you were talking about forgiveness, is I was in Philadelphia for 30 hours at the beginning of the month for a funeral, and I went to St. John Newman, and it was vandalized, St. John Newman. Somebody threw rocks through three of the windows, and the man who was showed me, ironically, one of the windows that was broken was St. John Newman kneeling and praying for the forgiveness of those who had, you know, abused Christ, you know, and that window was broken. So, you know, but...
Yeah, the insanity for somebody to go that far. But again, you know, honor God that's the window that the rock went through.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
all right, I'm going to go. I do miss Philadelphia because Memorial Day is coming up, and I have no veterans down here to celebrate with. You know, I mean, Philadelphia, like you say, it's filled with saints. It has Catherine Drexel and John Newman. And I go to a church down here called Queen of Peace, and they have the statue of John Newman and Catherine Drexel. I call it the Philly Wall.
No, there you go.
But, you know.
All right.
Well, all right, take good care.
Yeah, we're looking forward to when you come back. But until then, brother, take care.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, be good. All right, all the phone lines are open. If you want to give us a shout, the numbers are 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906, or call us toll-free at 888-343-2484. I want to share a quick story. I think it qualifies as an otter God. And every once in a while, we have these conversations with people. And it harkened me back. I guess it is an otter God. Last month, I had a guest on, and his name escapes my mind, but the book was called Sacred Conversations and How Important They Are. That when we, you know, we get together and we're able to talk about God and our own spiritual lives with somebody else, and I've been placed in different places, different positions, where I get to have quite a few of these conversations, whether it's because of my work here at the radio, with the ministry, out of Malvern, whatever. A lot of people that are in my life today enjoy having those types of conversations. And so a couple Tuesdays ago, we actually started the Calyx Cigar Club. There's a few of us that like to partake. And after our Calyx meeting on Tuesday nights, now that the weather's nice, we'll hang out on the deck and have a cigar. And the last 2 weeks, it was just me and one other guy, my friend Mark, and we got talking about confession, and I have a habit that I actually broke this week, and it was when I would go to confession with a priest for the first time, and I have like a set minute and a half litany that I would go through, and maybe it even wasn't that long, but you know, something to the effect of, you know, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I've been married, divorced, annulled, remarried. I have 4 kids, 2 grandkids, involved in an addiction ministry, involved in this, involved in that, and yada, yada, yada. And then I would go on to list my sins. And I was sharing that with Mark, and he turned around and said to me, you know, when you do that, it sounds to me like you think you're entitled to sin. And it like immediately hit me right between the eyes. You know, like I've never thought of myself as an entitled person, that I was really entitled to anything. I know I got this gift of sobriety and a lot of gifts from God, and all of them are nothing that I'm entitled to, that's for sure. So when he said that, it just nailed me right between the eyes, and it was like, that's what I'm doing. I'm saying because I'm really busy and I'm doing this and doing that, that I'm, you know, it's all right for me to maybe do something that I shouldn't be doing, or that not that it's all right, but that I have a built-in excuse for it. And you know, the God or God part of that is, we've talked before about the gospel reflection groups, and I've been part of one at St. Luke's on Saturday mornings for over 10 years now. And Patrick that's here goes to one. Father McKay drops in once in a while on one. But I know there's probably a number of listeners here that are involved in those gospel reflection groups. Our parish, even there's even one that the women have now, but especially for the men, born out of Man Up Philly, the annual men's conference, and they would spread the word about these men's groups. And one of the tools that they give the groups to use is this little prayer book. And in that prayer book is the Litany of Humility. And I was on retreat a number of years ago, and I have a friend that every once in a while after retreat, I'll open my mailbox and there'll be a little gift in there. And the one year he gave me a copy of the framed, just a small image, but it was the Litany of Humility. And it was one of those prayers when I saw it originally, it's like, I don't know if this one's for me, because it basically goes against everything we're taught, especially as men. And so I've always found it interesting over the last 10 years or so that when, and I bring that up because the Litany of Humility is in this small prayer book. So over the last 10 years, I try to make a point of when somebody new comes for the first time, and when we get to that prayer of the Litany of Humility, I kind of keep an eye on them to see what their reaction is. And almost to a person, they're shaking their head or rolling their eyes, and it's like, what is this prayer? That others will be loved more than I. That others will increase in position while I decrease. And it really goes against everything that we've done. And the most recent version of that prayer book, it wasn't in the original ones, but the most recent version of it talks about asking that we be freed from the feeling of entitlement. And so it was like an honor God and having this conversation with Mark, and then having prayed that a few times already in that Litany of Humility, because we pray it on Tuesday nights at our Calyx meeting. And so that's really where that culmination came in. And he said to me, you think you're entitled to that sin. And I really hadn't looked at it that way before. And so it's actually prompted me. I had mentioned at the outset of the show that I've started to do a little writing on Substack at notsaintsyet.substack.com. And in the next couple of days, I'm going to start a series on that Litany of Humility. And it'll probably run for a couple of weeks. Every few days, I'll put out a brief article on each of the different lines in that prayer. And we'll see where it leads. But I want to thank Mark for bringing that to my attention. And again, part of one of those sacred conversations that God was working through him in order to enlighten me as to the error of my ways. So we're going to go back to the phones, and we've got Frank. Hello, Frank.
Ken.
Hey. How are you, brother?
Hey, Ken. You have found God won't believe it. I almost forgot. I just thought about it. I totally forgot it was Wednesday. But I'm catching the last 6 minutes of you. I was going to call and say hi. I love you guys. It's a great program, and I'm sorry I missed most of the program. I'm catching right now the last couple of minutes. That's all. So
yeah.
I forgot. Captain Lou forgot. It wasn't a blackout. Forget. It was just forgetful Frank from Mayfair. Forget. That's all. Okay.
Nah, I appreciate it, brother. You sound good today. So appreciate the call. And I mentioned earlier that you know, if you follow In His Sign Catholic Radio on Facebook or go out to the InHisSign.com webpage, you can always re-listen to the shows. We upload the recordings. So
I never knew that.
Yeah.
What do you look for?
Do you use Facebook?
I think I have the bad vision. I can ask someone to do it for me though. Yeah. What
yeah.
Face?
If you're on Facebook, you go out to the In His Sign Catholic Radio page, and all the shows are out there. And also on our website at inhissign.com, if you go to, I think it's content and then podcasts.
Okay.
The recordings are out there.
Looking into for me.
Okay.
Is Father Doug there today?
No, he's not. He's on vacation this week and next.
Well, that guy was on vacation when he was hired, okay?
Yeah. Nah, okay. He deserves it, brother. But good to hear you, man. You sound good.
I'm only teasing him. He's a great guy.
I know. All right.
Have a good one. Thank you.
You too. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So when I first saw Frank's name up there, I wasn't sure if it was that Frank or our friend Frankie H., who's called in a couple of times. I want to congratulate Frank Huebner on the birth of his granddaughter that occurred overnight last night. We were talking to him for a couple of minutes after the Calyx meeting, and she was due any minute. And they got a picture of the beautiful baby today, so ask your prayers for Frank's daughter. And the whole Huebner family as they welcome the new granddaughter into the family. And so we were talking about the feeling of entitlement and that litany of humility. And I'm going to bring it up with our guest in the 5 o'clock hour because one of the lines that was in his book, and it was actually an apparition and a message from the Blessed Mother, to Mother Mariana, was that charity and humility were the foundation of religious perfection. And in doing this show again about the saints for a number of years now, and realizing the level of humility that these saints had reached, and that word humility, the root of it being hummus, that were meant to be down to earth. And for me, I didn't know a whole lot about humility until I got involved in the recovery program, and learned that it was being humble and learning to have a real level of humility that's when recovery can take place. And basically, what I've come to believe is that that humility is knowing who we are. And there's so many people that are walking around this planet that really have no idea who they are. First and foremost, they're children of God, and they don't know it. It's been interesting to watch over the last year, maybe more. It kind of started in Grace Furry at our Calyx meeting, where if you've ever seen a movie or a television show where they depict a 12-step meeting and people introduce themselves, my name's Ken and I'm an alcoholic, or my name's Joe and I'm a drug addict, whatever it may be. And in our Calyx group in Grace Ferry, we kind of got away from that, and a lot of people introduce themselves by saying, my name's Ken and I'm a child of God. Or the child of God and an alcoholic or an addict or what have you. And, Father McKay kind of started that because as people that struggle with addiction, when we go to 12-step meetings, that's the way that we're basically taught to introduce ourselves. And the idea is to reinforce with the individual that they are an addict, that I am an alcoholic, and that it's a terminal disease. We get a daily reprieve based on our spiritual condition, but it's a disease that will never go away in the with the idea that we can never safely drink or use drugs. It triggers a craving once we begin, where our bodies are different than the bodies of other people. And so once I put that first bit of alcohol in my body, the body instantly craves more. And so it's important for those of us that are in recovery to never forget, you know, where we came from and that we are addicts. But, you know, Father McKay would say that sometimes we over-identify with the addiction, and that if we solely think of ourselves as that addict, that we can, you know, drive ourselves to believe that we're not good people, the idea, you know, beating our breast, I'm a sinner, I'm a sinner, I'm a great big sinner. And we are sinners, but that's not who God made us to be. That's not how God created us. He didn't create us as sinners. He allows that condition, certainly through through original sin. But when he created Adam, it was not as a sinner. And so our goal in life, this journey that we're on, is to go from sinner to saint, and thus the name of the show, Saints and Sinners, right? And you know, some of the saints that we talk about, Saint Rita of Cascia that we talked about in the first segment, and other saints in the liturgical calendar, they managed to work out their sanctity while they were still here on earth. I hope to. The more, the older I get, and the more we read about purgatory, the less that I want to spend even a minute there. But, you know, if it's necessary, it's necessary. And I thank God for that gift, if that's what it takes in order for me to get to heaven. But why not, you know, work on our sanctity now? And the first way to get there is through humility, to realize that God is God and I'm not God, and that he created me in his image and likeness, and that he created me to be filled with his joy. And as we've heard a number of times in the last couple of weeks at Mass, it seemed like we were hearing the same gospel a couple times a week. And not because it was the same gospel, but I think Jesus repeated it a number of times, but especially the idea that it's only through him that we'll experience joy, and that his wish for us is that our joy would be complete. And the secret to that, of course, is that experience of him, that relationship of him that Bob and I were talking about a couple of minutes ago, that it's when we experience Christ, whether directly or through others, that we get to experience a little bit of that joy that God has intended for us. And as long as we keep putting things up before God and placing things before God, that we cut off or circumvent the way that he wants us to get to that joy. And so, you know, that's our prayer, that's our wish, is to be able to not only experience God ourselves, but through that experience be able to share it with one another. It's what we saw on Sunday with Pentecost. You have a room full of men that were basically cowards at that point. They were afraid to come out of the locked room. Now, part of it was that they were there by order of Jesus, right? He still told them to wait, and that the Holy Spirit would come. But they were basically afraid that what had happened to Jesus was going to happen to them. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they're willing to give up their lives for Jesus Christ and the faith. And it was because they had that experience. And I think for us, once we have that experience, like I said earlier, you can't unexperience it. And because of that, we want more and more of that joy. And so, you know, the way we're going to get that is through our Catholic faith, especially through the sacraments, and particularly the sacraments of confession and Holy Eucharist. So we're getting ready to wrap up this first hour here. I want to thank you for whatever part of the hour you were going to be able to be with us. In the next hour, our guest is already on the line. Jim, I think his last name is pronounced Valoy. I'll make sure when I talk to him right before we come back. But we'll be talking about Our Lady of Good Success and Marian apparitions that took place in Ecuador in the 16th century. So don't go away. We'll be right back.